Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk Radio. This segment, Bringing Sexy Back, this is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. Hope everybody's having a beautiful evening. We had almost a tornado here yesterday, but, you know, I made it through that, so it's a good thing. That was Mary J. Blige, No More Drama. You know, at one point, I didn't like Mary J. too much until the girl can sing, number one, and then the song she sing about is all right with me, so that's my girl, Mary J. Blige, No More Drama. Good evening to my two co-hosts, Jadino, and, oh, I have on all three of them on. Sorry about that. Good evening, guys, Jadino, Jadino, Jade, and Rhea. How you guys doing this evening?
Hello.
Hi,
I'm good, and you?
I am fantastic, darling. Just fantastic. Yeah, I was really a little sick yesterday, and I'm getting over it today. But yesterday, oh, my goodness, it was just, the sore throat just came down on me suddenly and stuffed up nose and, you know, just going through that. I was in the bed till maybe about 3 o'clock today, and I really am not a bed person, you know, but today I just couldn't detach myself from the bed. But then I said, let me get out of this bed. That might help me feel a little bit better. But I got out the bed and, you know, I ate some chicken soup when I first got up this morning, and I ate some more. So I am feeling a little bit better, but I'm still a little, my throat is still a little sore. So if you hear my voice cracking or going in and out, it's not something that I have control over. But anyway, we have a very interesting guest this evening. She once lived the street life. She knew hustlers, hustlerettes, killers, and drug dealers, prostitutes, scoundrels, liars, knockers, clockers, and watchers, and even herself with a few of those names mentioned. Tiffany Boston is a changed woman. She is a mother, grandmother, business owner, and devout Christian. She will discuss her love life, her losses, and her love, loss, and life right here tonight on Bringing Sexy Back. So without further ado, we're going to bring in this guest. We can get this show on the road. Good evening, Tiffany. How are you, darling?
Good evening, and good evening to you and the whole crew. Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me on this beautiful day that we all get to see.
Yes, ma'am. You're more than welcome. Just take us back a little bit. Who is Tiffany, and, you know, where did you grow up? Do you have any siblings? And, you know, then we'll get into a little bit of your street life and what went on with that and how you got there as well.
Sure, sure. So my name is Tiffany Monique Boston. I'm born and raised in Washington, D.C., now living in Dallas. Been here for 1 year, but my whole life consisted of Washington, D.C., not Temple Hills, not Maryland, not Virginia, the District of Columbia, you know. So when people ask me where am I from, that's from another, when I'm out traveling and things like that, I say D.C., and they'll say Southeast. That's the first thing they say, or Uptown. They know about those two places, and the only thing I can ever say to them is, no, I'm from the District of Columbia. I am my city. It's nowhere in my city where I have not planted my feet or cannot go. So I'm from the District of Columbia. But I was born and raised most of my life right over in Northeast. I grew up on a street called Clinton Street. That's when President Clinton was actually in office and running and stuff. So that was, like, really cool. And it's right off of South Dakota. It's put you over there in the Fort Lincoln area. So I ran from Woodridge to Langdon Park, and with Langdon Park to Montana. So I kind of grew up in all three of those corridors of Northeast. And I have three children, oldest being 21. She's 21. She turned 21 March the 28th. That's my firstborn, India Boston. And me and her dad, we were in love, young and in love. We fit the script of the modern day Jay-Z and Beyonce, but it was real. You know, it was real life and real situations. And then I had a son by, actually, a lot of people don't know this, it was a rivalry of India's dad, but I grew up with the other gentleman as well. So I was kind of put in the rock between the hard place, but God, he saw fit, you know, because out of a beef came two beautiful children who you can't help but to love. Now the parents don't have no choice but to get along, you know, and it was a journey, but that's neither here nor there. So coming up out of that area, it gave me a lot of stability, because in Woodridge there was no project. People did things that people did in the project, but it wasn't a project. It was your suburbia lifestyle, you know, and anybody that did the things they did, they chose it. It wasn't like, oh, you got to be a part of the hood because you're from the hood. No, we just, you know, we understood the hood. We wasn't from it, and if we could benefit from the things that we learned from it, that's what we did. Northeast people, they come across as weak, but they're smart, and they stay back, and they watch things, and then they take over. And so that's kind of where I learned a lot of my gifts and skills, where I began to practice them, coming from this neighborhood, but being able to go into other neighborhoods that was hard. You know, they had it rough. Like, their struggle was for real, and it made me respect them and see them for who they were. So So that's back in 1990, I'm thinking, yes, because India's 21 and she was born in 93. So fast forward, coming up out of Northeast Washington, D.C., two children, now three, with three grandkids, and truth be told, I'm 35 years old, and I'm not ashamed to say that.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter's 21, and I'm 35, and I have a three-year-old granddaughter, an eight-month-old grandson, and a nine-month-old granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that they are the reason why I am changed and why I am on the path that I'm on, you know, because it was going to take something for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to take something drastic, not one child, but he had to give me four more later in life, you know, that I wasn't even expecting, down to the five-year-old. She definitely was a gift from God because I was done.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the where I came from. But my feet traveled so many grounds. That was my substance and foundation of a home life. But I went so many places from that place that I have a home. I'm kind of like what you call a rolling stone.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever I laid my hat was my home without being homeless. You know, I was always welcome then. And I thank God for that and for people actually being able to love on me. I do have siblings. I have two blood sisters, Shawn Boston and Keisha Robinson. And through Shawn, I have two other sisters who are her biological sisters. They have the same mom. We share the same dad,
mm-hmm.
Yanni Smith and Terrence Smith. And a host of God sisters and just people who I don't consider friends because I believe family treat people better than friends do. Sometimes the word friends get misused and misplaced, so I try not to use that word. I'll call them any kind of kinfolk before I give them a friend if I love them because I don't
mm-hmm.
ever want them to be in that friend box of what happens in life, you know.
Right.
I did have a cousin, a baby cousin, who my mom raised, and we grew up as brothers and sisters, and he passed March the 6th, rest his peace, his soul. You know, I know it was God's will. I understand that because he showed up in the midst of his death and allowed me to peep into his future and destiny. I didn't know who I was mourning for and what I was mourning for, but it was well. And so once mm-hmm. I found out the same time of death, it kind of made sense, and that was just current. But he was like my best friend, my go-getter, my goon, my alabaster boss, you know, he was everything. Like, if anybody knew everything about me, it was him, and the
mm-hmm.
same for him. And so now I have to now carry out his legacy that he left behind. Where he stopped is where I'll pick up and keep going. So I tend to let people become the wind beneath my wings instead of just hurting and crying and being miserable about it. I can't question God. I will never try to figure out his ways because they're not like ours. You know, all I got to do is just meditate on the fact that it's good and it's true and it's for my good, and I think that's what keeps me pushing. So to answer that, I do have my sisters, and rest in peace to my brother and those who are really close to me. Like, I have a Tamika Coffey who I met years ago through a cousin of mine, and this was my cousin's best friend, but she became a sister to me, and through my journey and move from Dallas to D.C., she's been consistent along with my sister, Shawn Boston. You know, I have just a few people in my circle that really care about my journey and where I am and what I'm doing. A lot of those other people, my number have changed, and they don't even know it, but that's good for me because where
mm-hmm.
I'm going, God already told me I can't take everybody, and everybody's not going. So I get
right,
it.
Right, that's true. That's true.
I get it.
Now, you're 35 and you have a 21-year-old daughter.
Yes, ma'am.
How did you meet her father, and what was that relationship like?
Well, I met her father before we became intimate and started dealing with each other, like a year before, and he was very aggressive about the fact that I was going to be his woman. That's all he knew.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care about nothing else. He didn't care how long it took. That's what was going to happen, and it happened. Maybe like a year and a half later, we were at a party in Northeast up by Taft School, and it was a house party. It was my first time going to a house party, like, without, you know, as a teenager, and so it was cool. A lot of the guys from school was there, and I think that's when you really know how much people like you at that age and stuff, because they kind of gravitate towards you, and everybody want to dance with you, and I was just like, why do you want to dance with me? You know, I never thought big of myself. I just felt like I'm an average person just like anybody else.
But this man had his eyes set on me, and he was not playing. He wouldn't let nobody dance with me. I mean, you'd have thought we'd been dating or we was a couple. He was acting a fool in there. And I think somewhere deep down inside, that kind of attention must have drawn me to him, you know, that he could handle himself, that he was a young man and people respected him. And I think I like that because at least I felt like if I'm going to be around him, at least I'm protected. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know to the extent of who I was dealing with, you know. But so we met at that party, and then we talked for like a year. We would just go to movies, do little stuff, go on walks, but we never kissed. Or did. You know, I was like one of those little, no, we can't do that, we can't do this, we can't do that. And once it did happen, I ended up pregnant. You know, I never had, it just happened like that. But we were already in a relationship, so we went from adolescenthood, skipped teens, and went straight into adulthood in like,
so he was 15 as well?
Well, he was 15 and I was 14.
Oh, okay.
I think I was 13 when I was pregnant, if I remember correctly, turning 14. Mm. And he was 1 year older than me. So he was 15 if I was 14, and if I was 13, he was 14.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah, he was something else. You know, he was my first love and my first heartache and all of those other things too, but I'm grateful for him because we have a beautiful daughter who has a very, very, very warm heart. And I look at her, I'm like, God, she really is her own individual because she's not like me or him because he's mm-hmm. something else and so am I. And to see her meekness is like, thank you, God. You know, like, what is, that's my one child that I can kind of know she's good. No matter what her journey might look like, I know she's going to be all right. Is she perfect? Oh, no. Do she have secrets? Yes, I'm sure. But for the most part, I know that she's a stable being. And God did that because, again, you know, this brother I'm talking about, he's been gone since she was four, literally, straight.
So who turned you on to the street life? It wasn't him or was it someone else?
Well, it just depends. You know, when we talk about the street life is so deep and it depends on what level we're talking about turning me on. I remember being in elementary school and asked in class what we were going to be when we grew up. And everybody said what they said. I said I was going to be a drug dealer because they are never broke. And they always mm-hmm. have money. And I really meant that, like sixth grade. You know, that's what I meant. It was like I knew that this particular profession, you could survive. If you knew what you were doing, you learned what you had to do, you can make it. So that's what my mind told me, not even knowing I was going to have a baby a year and a half later, then, mm-hmm. then a year and a half after that, too, not knowing that. But I remember seeing it a little bit. You know, I knew what the people in my neighborhood was doing and the way they did it because it wasn't a project. It didn't feel like it was doing anything wrong. Here's the working class people who smoke whatever they smoke on the side, and they just want to get their stuff. And here's the guys who grew up in this neighborhood, come from this neighborhood that has it. And it was just that. You keep it and you get paid. So it wasn't really, no one turned me out to that. I saw that and I wanted that because I did not want to ever be broke or doing things with men for money. Like, I just, it was certain things that I knew I didn't want to do in life, and that was one. So once I, as I like to call it, jumping off the porch, I remember the gentleman who we were talking about, India's dad, my oldest child's dad, he had some things, you know, he had some stuff, and he had it for a long time. He would go outside, come back, still had the same thing, and I was like, what are you doing? You know, I couldn't understand why he wasn't turning anything over. Where's the money? Like, what are you doing? So he was like, man, it's slow, it's this and that, this and that. So I was going to another neighborhood, which I used to frequent, and then that particular time, I took his stuff, and because I knew, I said, well, it's going to short him go here, you know, and I took it, and I didn't steal it from him. I figured I'll go get the money and bring him back to him and show him how to do it, mm-hmm. because he was missing a big piece there. You're staying outside all night, you're not coming home with no money, something's not right. So I did that, and he thought that his mom took it in the process because she was a user, so he arguing with her, it's a big old confusion, and when I get there, I just throw the money on the bed. I didn't know because we didn't have cell phones and stuff. We were 12. We had deep,
right.
You know, you had to go to the pay phone. You had to, it was different, you know.
Right,
and,
I know.
I threw the money. It was, it really was. Throw the money on the bed, and I was like, okay, now here, this is what you do. I said, it's everything you had except for $20. He's like, what you talking about? And I told him, and he was like, man, I thought my mother took that. Man, what did you do? How did you get this money? You know, he went straight into that. I was like, well, look, don't worry about what I did. Now I got it. This is how you do it, and this is what it is. And that's what you need to go out and do if you're going to do that. And from that point, I knew the magician of it. I understood the magic of it, you know. And the place where I went was in Montana. I never forget because I ran with them. They was my crew, you know, the guys. And we grew up together. And I had the stuff. And one of the robbers had found out that I had it. So he came to me. Now, I'm green and gullible thinking that I know what's going on, but I'm really green because I'm young. But I could feel that something wasn't right. He said, yeah, you got some stuff. Because he did it, too, on the low. But everybody feared him all through there and everywhere. And I was like, yeah. I do. He was like, yeah, I'm going to need to get some from you. I got this and that. So I went to go look for it, and where I had placed it, it was gone. So then I remember I used the bathroom before I came out. And the place where I used the bathroom was his mom's house, who had a habit that was five times his habit. And if she would have found that, oh, all I could think about, I was going to die because that man was going, I didn't, let's took his stuff and then, you know, didn't come back with it. So I went back up, I backtracked my steps, went to the bathroom, down behind the toilet, there was, I was like, whew. But when I came back, I made him believe that I lost it. Well, come to find out, he was going to take everything I had anyway. So that was good that I did it that way because what defense did I have? I mean, what was I going to do? I'm in somebody else's territory. Yeah, I'm cool with them and all of that. I was just an easy lick for this guy. And he didn't care that I was, you know, Ian's baby mama. He didn't care that I was Tiffany from, you know, he didn't care about that. They don't care. When it's going down, it's going down. But, God, again, you know, it didn't happen like that. It happened. It worked out where I was able to be successful in what I did, even though it was a bad decision. And I want to touch on that because when I incorporate God in bad talk, people get so confused. And they be like, how's she talking about this but talking about God? And I just have to say this, that God doesn't remove himself for us. He doesn't excuse himself for us. He doesn't walk out of room when we sin or anything. He's there with us all the time. And the more that we realize that, the more we'll get real with him. Because we act like when we go and lay down with that guy or that man lay down with that woman that he not in that room. You didn't invite him. You got him governing all of these spirits that he's sitting here watching take place constantly. If he's not there, his angels are there. His presence is always with us. So I want to say that so that we won't get confused about talking about God. In your mess, you better confess that God is real and that Jesus is the Savior because that is what's going to get you out of it. In my drug dealing, in my lifestyle, I talked about God. And people would get angry. Oh, here she go with this God stuff and this, that, and the other. I would go cold turkey and say, I'm quit. I'm done. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. Don't call my phone no more. If they call me, I would act like they was retarded for calling my phone again. It was a blatant line of disrespect. If I told you that I was done and don't call me, I don't care how long I choose to be done, you're going to respect the fact that I'm done. Don't call me. Call somebody else. And
when you were selling the drugs, did you ever use any?
Oh, no. Well, I was only, my drug of choice was marijuana, loud, champagne, alcohol, never snorted powder. I never smoked cocaine, never did no dope, none of that. I have smoked PCP. I won't sit here and say I ain't never did this and that because people lie and they need to keep it real. Keep it real with yourself. All the time. It doesn't matter. Only God can judge us. You know, it's not about where you've been. It's about where you're going. If you let the mess you in keep you there, you're going to stay there forever. And it's going to be called stagnation, contemplation, and contentment. And that's a choice. That is a choice. And I have to say that because we get stuck on all the wrong things. So back to the guy in the whole dealing situation, when it came into play, it came on a small scale. I just stepped my hands in it, and then I just never stopped, you know, and that went on for a long time. I won't get too deep into that because then I have nothing to tell them in the book. It's so much to me that I want to share with the world because I know that's what God would have me to do, but I don't want to glorify it, and I don't want to make it look like it was cool or cute. The only reason why I'm telling the story is because I made it out of it. If I would not have made it out of it, I would not be telling this story. None of it.
Right.
None of it. You know, it was hard because, like I said, that when it all began with the 13-year-old relationship, you know, he was beefing with people I grew up with. Do you know how hard that was for me? He got into a beef with my neighborhood. Like, what? You know, we're supposed to choose our neighborhood. We're not supposed to be no ancestors about it. But here I am carrying this man's seed. So now I got to choose over purpose. It's purpose inside of me. Not no neighborhood, you know. And I had to leave my house, go stay in his neighborhood with him because he wasn't going to keep walking down there. And they were shooting at him. It was like the Wild Wild West. And we were 13 and 14. They're shooting at him. He's shooting at them. I'm right here at this point. It's like I don't know what to do. You know, it was more than what I could bear, but God saw us through it because I'm still here, and I'm friends with each and every one of them guys, and they understood that they was wrong for putting me in the middle of that and expecting me to choose something like that. I could not, you know. I didn't start it. It might have started from him dropping me off, but I didn't start that. You know, I was disrespected by a very disrespectful young man in our neighborhood at the time, and this same young man who I'm talking about, it really hurts my heart when I speak of it because I have forgiven him, but his brother was my best friend, and he's dead because of that same young man. So here's a domino effect 15 years later. He started that then, and he started what's happened when his brother passed. Rest in peace to Fred. You know, that was a good person. To me, that was one of my best male friends. But this gentleman disrespected me and disrespected the guy that was dropping me off. This was a no, zero tolerance kind of guy. He wasn't your average 14-year-old guy. He was like a little grown man. And he had his own ways of thinking and beliefs and all of that, you know, and that's who he was. And he disrespected him. And in turn, this guy came back 4th of July night. My mom won't let me come outside. I just want to go outside like I usually can do. It's right across the street from the house. It's not a bad neighborhood, you know. I just want to go outside, Mom. She said, no, it's 4th of July. You know they're going to be shooting, da, da, da. She would not let me out that door. I stayed in that window all night long, talking to them through the window. So you know when that shooting went down that they thought I had something to do with that because why Tiffany ain't come outside? Oh, she was in the window all night. You see how the enemy will set something up to make you look guilty about something you have nothing to do with? Nothing to do with. But God will intervene, and he had purpose behind all of that mess. All of that mess for two children who strifed growing up, and I knew why. I wasn't confused when they used to say the mean things they said to each other and stuff. Because I knew why, but I always pled the blood of Jesus over them, and I said, these are your children, Father. You gave them to me to bring into the world. You'll cover them. So with them growing up, being brothers and sisters, the beef had to end. You know, I told one and I told the other, look, I have kids by both of you now. Y'all going to have to let that go because I need both of y'all to be here, and ain't neither one of y'all going to kill either or. So we're going to just eliminate that. And that's pretty much how that went. But that was years later, a fire ducking over your head and having to carry your gun because you don't know, you know, stuff I should not have been subjected to, yet I allow myself to be subjected to it by the choices that I made. Am I crying victim? No. Am I talking bad about them people? No. It was all a choice, you know? Even then when I was doing it, I knew it was a choice, and I chose that choice. So anything that came behind that, I had to deal with. So we can fast forward to maybe, I don't know, homosexual lifestyle.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's take a break. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll dive into the next phase, the homosexual life, and take it from there, okay? We'll be right back.
Listen up. I got to tell you about this beautiful author and publisher, Gail Delicious Johnson. Gail Delicious Johnson is proud to announce the publication of her new revised issue of her latest suspenseful novel, Back to Zero. Read this riveting story of intrigue, conflict, love, and suspense. Follow the trail of abuse, secrets, lies, and love. And check it out. You can't just read the back of the book because you have to prepare yourself for the mind-blowing, explosive ending. Order your personally autographed copy of Back to Zero by visiting www.jjpublishing.com. That's www.jayjaypublishing.com.
So, what do you want to do? I'm here, baby. I'm ready, baby. I'm waiting on you. Believe me, I am patiently waiting on you. talking about you loving me. Hey, babe, your foreplay just blows my mind. So why don't we stop all the talking, girl? Why don't we stop wasting time? I've had my share of lovers. Some say I'm damn good. And if you think you can turn me out, maybe I wish that you would. Cause you keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once I'm with you, I'll never go back. You say there's a lesson that you wanna teach. Well, here I am, baby. Practice.
Yeah, baby, practice what you preach.
Practice what you preach. And we're right here with our special guest this evening, Tiffany Boston, who transplanted from Washington, D.C. to Tennessee, is it right?
No, Dallas, Texas.
I'm sorry, to Dallas, Texas. She's lived the street life at a very young age, became a mother at a very young age, but all that's changed in Tiffany's life. Well, we're going to talk about now the homosexual lifestyle that she was in at one point in her life. So, and we all know we also have some callers in the queue. I'll be bringing you in shortly, callers, so just be patient, okay? All right, Tiffany, go for it, darling.
Just on the short, because I had different friends from different walks of life, like I knew a lot of different people. My main girlfriends was Jamelia, Kira, Vanessa. We all hung together with a few other, Aisha Jones, Uncle Netta Robinson. We were like a clique, but I had friends outside of my clique. I was never just the one that just stayed with my clique. And I've been like that since I was a little girl to a grown woman like now. I'm affiliated with the Sesame City Divas, which is my family, my sister's group, and her friends, which are family to me. And then I'm also affiliated with the 10 Sexy Sisters, which are a group of girls that are my GGF. And then I stand alone. And I had a company called Bad Girl Entertainment. And the name Bad Girl Entertainment came from my lover. That's the woman who I spent 7 years of my adult life with, teenage life, you know, because I was 16 when I met her. I led her on to believe I was 18, but she was like 5 years older than me. And she didn't want to be rocking the cradle. And she was my second girlfriend. The first experience I had with a woman, she was abusive and crazy. And it was like, I just left an abusive, crazy man. I'm not getting ready to stay in a relationship with an abusive, crazy woman. And she was older. She was much older than me. And, you know, I think she thought she could control me, but she learned very early that that wasn't going to happen. And then I met another young lady, and she led on to be different, and we had a lot of fun together. But she was on that PCP really bad. And, that, you know, at the time, I wasn't even indulged, and that was like nothing. That wasn't my life, you know, so I tried to still be her friend and be with her, but her head was so bad that she became verbally abusive, physically abusive, and I believe that because I had been abused so early and so young through that relationship with my oldest daughter's father, that I was afraid, you know. I didn't even realize, I forgot that this was a woman. I just knew they were the domineering one in this relationship, so they controlled that. So I left her too, because she just wasn't, it wasn't worth it. And I met this other woman, and her name is Tian Hunter. Today, we are like best friends, and we, you know, we have no emotional attachments outside of God and who God called us to be and us being friends. She's my family forever. And I met her. She was in a relationship with another woman, but they were going through so much, and she would find me. I guess I was really her mistress and didn't even realize it because she spent so much time with me.
Let me ask you this. What caused you to get in these relationships? Was it out of curiosity or just something that you wanted to do? How did you even become involved in the relationship with a woman, your first woman relationship? How did you even become involved in that, and for what reason?
Okay. Maybe, and I just say maybe because I'm really not sure how that all came into play. You know, I believe that it had purpose and it was a season. Whatever it was, I will say that. But my first woman encounter, and when I knew something was going on crazy with me, it was this one lady who used to come and get her hair done at the salon I worked at. And I knew what she wanted to eat when she came, and I knew she was gay. I knew she was a dominant, what they used to call stud and all of that. But I enjoyed servicing her, and I would take my time washing her hair and doing all this stuff. So I said, something's going on with me, you know. And that's when the curiosity kicked in. But I had been through so much turmoil with the oldest child's dad and then the youngest child, which I didn't even mention because it was like, you know, I just skipped past that portion, no reason. Honestly, I had went through so much turmoil with them. Shoot, I think anything had to be better than that because, honestly, when I was having sexual relations with these men, I didn't even enjoy it. I felt like they was taking something from me. It never felt like, oh, my goodness, this is the best. I did it because I was supposed to. So I learned how to perform oral sex on them just so they wouldn't have to sleep with me. I would get them out of the way and make sure that they're going to get theirs before, you know, so that they won't even try to have sex with me. And it got
got to the point where they were noticing it. And they saying, well, why you don't like that? But I was like, I don't know. It just didn't feel right. It felt like I was doing it because I felt like I was supposed to, not because I wanted to. So when I met the woman, that woman, she invited me to a gay club. And I went. So I snuck down to this gay club. None of my friends knew. Nobody knew. I went with, and I just met her and her friends there. And I met all of her friends, and we had a good time. It was a different kind of fun. You know, it wasn't all no touchy-feely gay stuff, but it was just they were cool people. I liked everything I saw. They did live performances and shows. It was everything at the time. And that's how that happened. So I started sneaking to the gay clubs, and finally I got busted because my best friend, she was sneaking to the gay clubs too. So we end up in the club together. I'm like, what are you doing here? She was like, B, because that's what we used to call each other, bitch. That's all she said was, I know you not. I said, girl, I know you not. And we came out the closet together. So we kind of, it just happened like that. And so we was living that lifestyle. She was way deep. I only liked the dominant girls. They had to be look like a boy and could change tires and stuff. I didn't want no girl because I'm like, what am I going to do with a girl? So that's what made me know I wasn't gay, but I was still looking for a feeling. And when I met that woman, she gave me that feeling sexually, emotionally, financially, whatever she had. It was like it was just a whole nother world. And I stayed there for a very long time, a very long time. And it got really, really, really bad. I mean, whereas my kids seen things they shouldn't have seen, you know, and I know that, you know. So I look at a lot of those things when I look at things my children go through and some of their patterns and stuff like that. I see mine. I see what I went through and what they were shown. So how do I expect anything more? I just got to keep praying and interceding and keep pushing and show them today, because our tomorrow was our tomorrow. Granted, we were never homeless. We were never without food. We were never without a car. Had a car, bought my first car, 14 years old. Was driving them women around to gay clubs, okay? We had fun. So I ended up with that woman for 7 years. She loved me. I loved her. She had a daughter. We was just one little gay family. I started feeling like the woman on Brewster Place. I said, oh, God, you know, the people in the neighborhood would give us funny looks because we was just out whipping and we were young. But we didn't care. We strolled and strolled. But the more I was doing it, the more uncomfortable I started feeling. Like I didn't want to hold her hand in public no more. I didn't want to kiss in public no more. Something was changing. And anytime something changed like that, I don't know how to pretend. So, you know, we were taking the train ride and she had to go to court. And she said she knew she was going to prison. And she said, you know, where do you see us 5 years from now? I said, I don't know. Where do you see it? She said, I see us as best friends. We're going to always be family, but we're not going to be together because this is not who you are. This is not for you. And, you know, when she said that, I agreed. And we were on, she was on her way to she ended up getting sentenced 9 months, but I stayed and I kept her place for her and I made sure she had somewhere to come home to. I helped her with her daughter and, you know, I was just there. But when she came home, it really was over. We tried to make it work, but so much had happened. In them 9 months she was gone, I didn't met this guy. I wasn't sleeping with this guy. This guy had moved and ignited me, and my whole world had revolved around this guy. It was like, oh, she gone. You know, something new had happened. And I just let it go because it was so painful, and I went through a whole lot in the homosexual relationship. Any mark that you see on my body came from that homosexual relationship. The men that I was with that abused me didn't even bruise me up. So I knew that this was something I had to let go of. Am I saying she was a bad person? No. She was hurt. Hurt people hurt people. I was hurt. I stayed there. I was her punching bag for a long time just emotionally because she had issues that I know God sent me in her life just for that, because things that her mom did not know. When I left, she knew everything she needed to know. And today they have a wonderful relationship. And there was healing and restoration in that woman's life. So we might have thought it was about us, but God was using us. Just like she gave me that name, Bad Girl Entertainment. And you know what? Everybody think it is what it's saying. They think it's bad. But where it come from, she said, you're a badass young girl. Yeah, I wasn't thinking about half of the things you think about at your age. She said, I'm going to call you Bad Girl. That's where it came from. But I just ran with it. So when I did music, it was Bad Girl This. And then when I did my production company, it was Bad Girl Entertainment. And I knew what it meant, but others were confused behind it. And even with their confusion, there was some truth behind the confusion. So I just let it be.
Let me ask you that.
What was
harder, which relationship was harder, being in the one with the female or being in the one with the male?
It was more intense. with the female. It was a deeper kind of love. You know, I was way too young to really know what love was with the 14-year-old and then even the 16-year-old. But by the time now I'm going into adolescence, I mean to adulthood, 17, 21, there was a deeper love. You know, women, it's like sisterhood or something. I don't know. You know, it's like a understanding. Women understand each other, you know, and especially women who are not afraid to be women just because they choose to be gay or a stud. They still embrace their femininity and who they are, you know, and that's who she was. She could change a tire and all of that, but when she get in the bed, I'd be like, hey, what are you doing? I'm the girl, you know, like, like I didn't know she was that feminine with her ways and her life. So it was a deeper kind of love. I think that, you know, I used to tell her, if you was a man, I would marry you. I would have. I would have went through whatever with her if she was a man. But I knew I couldn't do that. And that's my personal belief. You know, I'm not knocking those who choose to get married today and all of that. I just choose to believe in the whole entire Bible, not pick out what I want to live and choose to be fit for my consumption. And I'm not saying I'm perfect because I'm still struggling. I still have issues. And I'm going to, you know, until you die, you're going to be, you're going to have to get rid of something.
Right. Jay, did you have a question?
I wanted to ask, what were some of the, because you had mentioned your kids were exposed to a lot, what were some of the things that your kids were exposed to, and has it made your relationship with them stronger today?
Absolutely, absolutely. It was things them kids knew that I didn't know they knew. They found stuff and would say, Mommy, I'm here. You know, they knew the things I was doing. As much as I kept it away from them, they would walk into it. Like my son said, one day he came downstairs, he came in the kitchen, and I was whipping up. What kind of stuff is that? I'm like looking at him, you know, because they just telling me a lot of the things, you know. So I'm like, all these years, and I thought y'all didn't have a clue. Y'all knew all of this? Like, really? You know, with the street stuff, they wasn't around it. They never had to be subjected to it. And, you know, but they saw things that I didn't know they saw. So I picked that up because my daughter, she ended up, I hear her on the phone talking to a dude, a little young boy, and he talking about he a baller, he this and that. And this girl said, I heard my, no, you ain't no baller, my mother a baller. Yeah, she got that, she got whatever. You know, she was talking like that. So I was more so embarrassed and ashamed that I couldn't even, you know, I just made some noise on the phone to make sure she knew somebody had picked up or something, but I didn't know what to say, you know, and that was some of the things that I had experienced with them, and then even with them being young and the abuse that I encountered with the woman, you know, that there, it was hard because they saw it. They saw a lot of that stuff. They saw me go through a whole lot, more so with people than they saw me go through the stuff that I went through in the world. You know, I didn't bring it around them at all. They never went to the places where I hung or none of that. It was like it was a separate world, but yet it wasn't, because you think you're hiding something and they know everything. You know, my son grew up, he's addicted to weed. He is addicted. But I was pregnant smoking weed with him. I didn't know I was pregnant when I, up until 6 months with him. So I had him smoking the whole time. So you think he wasn't born with an addiction? That stuff is real. It's real. I used to wonder why I would smoke and they'd be asleep, but he wake up, go to bathroom, now he'll never go back to sleep. Because he'd want to smell it. You know, so if those things, and those are things that us parents don't see. We think that we grown and we can do what we want to do, but the things we do, we implant that in our children. Whatever it is, they should see nothing but good things, because that's what they'll live. But if they see it all, they want to dip and dab into all the things they have already explored.
Right. Well, we have a call. I'm going to bring this caller in with their hand up. Caller 240-353, you have a question or comment for Tiffany?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello,
do you have a question? Do you have a question or comment for Tiffany?
I just wanted to tell her that I am very, very proud of her. This is her big cousin. This is Tai. I'm very proud of you, Stank, and where you're going, the road you're going on, your journey. I'm super, super proud of you. I'm your biggest supporter, and you already know. I just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And
I love you, too. And she is truly one of my biggest supporters, and she covered my butt. She was one of them
beautiful
people. that knew everything. That was another one. She was like Mo. She knew everything. And she would be like, okay, can you explain it to me one more time? I'd be like, no, you don't need to know the details. I just need you to do this. Give me the keys, this, that. I mean, you know, she was there. Whether I was right or wrong, she held me down. And whenever I went through something, like, God used her to be my witness in so many different situations that I care not to go into tonight. Maybe we can do it again because that's way too deep, you know, and I don't want to go that far because it's not necessary. But that woman right there, they say when she used to use the bathroom when I was a little girl, that she had to let me stand beside her.
I had to let her go in the bathroom with me. I would get in trouble. I would get a beating if I saw her or if I shut the bathroom door and would not let her come in the bathroom.
We were very, very close.
Very influential person in my life. And I appreciate you calling in. And I love you so much. Thank you.
It does take sometimes to have that because I know or have heard of a lot of women who've been in your situation and not have any kind of family support. So it's great that you do have that family support.
Right. Yes, it is. I always tell people, I don't know about, when I see statuses about your family will be the ones to do it to you first and all of that, I really can't relate to that at all because I have an outstanding family. Like, we are supportive. We hold each other down. We show up and we show out. We are a unit, my entire family. And I know that that is a seed that God gave us. And that's why I'm on this journey. And I have to say this while it's on me, you know, to do this. I'm not just doing what I'm doing for me. Let me say that. So anybody that's listening, anybody that's connected to me, anybody that I've known all my life and my journey, it's for us. I'm not going to be that person who see that $1 billion and don't come back for my hood and don't come back for my family and friends. You know, I'm not saying I'm going to trade it low, but when God bless me, he's going to bless me so that I can bless others. And that's just it and that's all. So, you know, I need y'all to continue on this journey with me because being so far away from my family, it's not that easy. It's not. I'm alone. Right. I'm here in Dallas, Texas with one relative, and this is one relative that's been on her own for 30 years, so she's not used to having nobody around, and I get it. I don't try to overwhelm her. I don't try to burden her, you know? So this process is very much so appreciated, just having the family and the ties and the people that's really in my corner, and I need y'all to know that it's for us. We're gonna be all right. Every vision that God has showed me over our life is going to come to pass.
We have another call. I'm going to bring this other caller in. Caller 202-710, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, do you have a question or comment for Tiffany?
This is her longtime friend, Keisha.
Hi, Keisha.
We have been through it all. Everything that she has said is true. Mm-hmm. The journey, everything. I mean, and yes. I just commend her from, the stuff that she has been through. I'm just so proud of her, you know.
Oh, why?
Words can't express how much I'm proud of her.
Well, it's
is done and, you know, has accomplished, you know, it has been a long journey for all of us. And, you know, for us to be black women and to have came from the stuff that we have seen and been around, and, you know, we're here for our kids, you know, doing everything that we can for our kids on our own. I mean, I'm just proud of you, Tiffany, and I just want you to know that.
That means a whole lot. I appreciate that.
Beautiful. Yeah.
That's excellent that y'all are there supporting her and keep supporting her. That's great.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
You know, from Tiffany, the deals and everything.
Wow.
Everything.
So, Tiffany, once you got out of that lifestyle, then what was on for you? I also would like to touch on the fact of you knowing killers and pimps and hustlers and, you know, those sort of people as well. And just where did you come in under some of those names, or did you come in under some of those names as well? Because I know at one point you was a hustler, hustlerette. Hello? A hustlerette back in the day. But can we touch down on some of the other things that you knew? And
well,
thank you, Paula, for calling
in.
I
can leave from there and then take you into what happened and how it changed. Basically, when I say that I know all of those people, you know, somewhere deep down inside, we are all those people. It's just a choice, right? And I never judged people based on who they were, what they done, what people said about them. And I had the lowliest of lowly friends, and I also had the highest of friends, you know. But I felt more comfortable around those who were comfortable with the choices that they made, because whatever you're doing, you got to be comfortable in it. And whether it's right or wrong, God will change it when you're ready for it to be changed. So I looked at Jesus' life, and I tried to mimic his life. And his friends was killers and, you know, dealers and robbers and thieves. You know, those were his friends. He did not deny those people. Those are the people that he yoked with. So when I say that, it's not to discredit none of us, you know, because that walk, that's a part of our journey that's going to take us to our destiny. And that's exactly what happened for me. My daughter's dad is a professional killer. He's been in prison for 17 years for killing. My second child's dad escaped that. He got a good job, you know, he worked for Metro, and he'd been to jail for selling drugs, and he made it straight, and he never looked back. I applaud that. My third daughter's child, dad, he's in prison right now fighting for his life, found guilty for 20 years for a murder that I know that he's innocent about. But God got to deal with that. That's not for me to judge or get in the middle of. Another one that comes up in October where they trying to come against them and make it a gang and all types of stuff. But again, but God. And I told him about that situation way before it happened. God gave me word. I gave it to him. And he didn't do nothing about the word that God gave him. He took it as a joke until now. Now he's giving it back to me. And that's fine, because he's going to be where he's going to be until God finished with him. But he's not finished for him. So he's a convicted killer with another murder that he's facing. And, you know, I'm a very close friend with a very well-known, notorious killer, but I would not say his name because I'm not looking for no publicity or anything about
him. Right, the guy from D.C.
Private.
I know who you're talking about.
We'll just keep that there. And, you know, he was a killer. You know, he is a killer at heart. But he's my friend. You know, I had girls that I know that for a living, they sold their body. That's how they made their money. I did what I did to make my money. They did what they did to make their money. Did that mean that I was better than them? No. I just chose a better choice for me to do it. I didn't want to give myself up for that. Not until I got turned grown did I enjoy sex, when I was like 23. You know, so... I definitely wasn't doing that. That was going to be robbery, getting paid, still getting robbed. I couldn't do it, you know. And so I knew them. And then, you know, you surround around by all these people, so there's going to be a lot of envy in the room. You know, people who smile and act like they for you, but really they don't like you. They don't like you for no reason. You know, but that don't have nothing to do with you. That's who they are. They're going to be like that with whoever come in the room. That is competition to them. So I learned to pay them no mind, you know. Then you had the knockers. Then you had the people that was just watching so that they could talk and send somebody else to come and take what they think that person has. And, you know, you have all these different type of people that just made up people. And I was one of those who was going to get the money. Did I lie? I'm like, yes. I can't say I never lied and I don't lie. Yeah, I've lied, you know. I done schemed. I done scammed. You know, I did things to get ahead. It wasn't directly hurting anyone, but it hurt me in the end because I always had to pay for whatever I did. I went to jail for 2 years, and I never did the crime that I went to jail for at all. I was innocent. However, I was not innocent for all the other things I had done in life already. Had I got time for that, I wouldn't be right here. I would not be right here. The amount of work that I saw, is no way I would be right here. The amount of money that I touched and the things that I've done, is no way, if it was not purpose and destiny and me choosing, would I be here. So how did I get here? You know, I hit rock bottom, started gambling. I was a gambler. I see how Michael Jordan and all of them can lose this and lose that. I ain't have much and I lost everything. So I know what that life is about. You know, once I got out of the streets, I told a good brother of mine, and I called my brother. I told him, I said, it's over. I said, I'm done. God told me to leave. He said, even now, if I don't, I'm going to do life. I said, he said, for me to help the kids, I'm going to do a program called Help Keep Me Out the Streets. It came out of nowhere. We were in Deep Creek in the mountains. I'll never forget this day. It was Tamika Coffee's birthday bash. We were sitting at the table, him and I, talking. And that man said to me, oh, God, here she go with that God stuff. What God tell you now, sis? And he said, well, I bet you, you go to Atlantic City and you lose that bag, you'll be back. And when he said that, it pierced me because he didn't believe in me. You know, and I'm like, I don't care what we do. You could be trying to touch the moon. I'm going to believe that for you. How could you say I'll be back? How could you even wish that on me? And so that made me feel some kind of way, and it made me look at my surroundings deeper. Like, dang, this is somebody I really care about and everything. Well, lo and behold, that same brother I'm talking about, 6 months later, end up getting a case, and people that was beside him told on him and all of that. Had I been around, I would have been around. But, see, I was obedient, and I said that God said. And you see how he told me he took me before that man to tell that man specific stuff? Specific stuff? Why not nobody else? Why him? Why the big man? Because he was trying to warn him, too, and he was using me to do just that. Now, whether he got it or not, that wasn't God's concern. He just knew he needed him to hear it. So when it came to existence, he will remember it. He will remember it. So I thank God that I did that. And then I watched somebody else fall six months after that, and then somebody else 2 months after that. I'm talking about everybody that I could have called on. Failed like a domino. Literally. And I said, oh, my God. Once again, you saved me because he's been saving me all my life. I know I have purpose. I supposed to have been dead like four times ago. Four. But I'm not. So you think I'm worried about the fact that I supposed to have been dead? Oh, the devil should have killed me when he had a chance because there ain't no stopping me now. And I'm about to turn up for God like I done turned up for the world, and I don't mind saying it in front of the world because I know who he is. I know who he is. I'm no longer confused. The enemy whispers will no longer conquer me. He will not tell me I will not make it. He will not tell me it's just a dream. He will not tell me it's not going to happen. He will not tell me to turn around. He will not tell me to quit because I don't hear from him no more. And when I do, I tell him to flee immediately because there is power in the name of Jesus. But people think that these songs are just songs, but if they start living what they sing, they will see his work. And that's how I got here from where I came from. Because I've been some places, and I ain't even put a dent in the places that I've been on this call because we don't have enough time.
Right.
But it don't matter because I made it out of those places. And I am you, and you are me. We all can make it. It ain't no just made it. No, make it. Let me be the reason why you make it too. And you know if I do it, you can do it. It ain't nothing I can do that can't nobody on this line or nobody in the world do. But we think that. So we start looking up at people. Don't look up at me. Look up to God when you see me. Because I'm not nobody without him.
Right. So when you decided to turn your life around, just – what was the first thing? What are the first steps that you made? Did you get on your knees, or did you go to church, or, you know, how did that transition happen?
The first thing I did was I heard from him. When I heard from him, I listened. That's the first thing I did. When he said stop now and do this and do that, I stopped and I did what he said, even though it wasn't making no sense. When God talks to you and tell you to do something, it ain't going to make sense. But if you do follow the process, it will all work out. So that's what I did. I just heard him, and I believed it, you know. And so then I remember it was my sister's birthday down at a club, and I really couldn't make it because she didn't know I was in there going through a spiritual warfare. I was in there going through what they call a renewing of the mind and a transforming of the mind. My brain was tingling on one side, and I started scratching my head. I ain't have no weave or nothing. I'm like, why is my head itching like this? So it burned and tingled for about 60 seconds, then the other side started happening. But he was renewing my mind because I had made a choice that I was going to trust him. So the minute that I made that real choice, not the altar call choice, you're feeling some kind of way the preacher spoke to you, so you're going down there. But you know you're about to go do all the stuff you like to do. Just don't go down there. Don't even play with yourself. Pray your way down there. There is no way to receive God and no way to do it but to do it. That's the only thing I can really tell somebody. It's a made-up mind. Weigh your pros and weigh your cons. Look at the good and look at the bad. I bet you the good outweigh the bad, but you're so focused on the bad that you don't want to walk into the good. So if you walk into the good going to become great. Because, see, old people always say God is good. Well, no, the truth is he's amazing. He's awesome. He is everything. I mean, I'm not talking on a religious tip because I'm not a religious person. I'm talking spiritual. spirit man, Holy Spirit indwelling. Let me tell them something. It's not about your conscience when you say, oh, I knew I should have did this. Oh, I know I shouldn't have did that. Let me tell y'all who've been telling y'all what to do all your life and you thought it was you and your better conscience. The Holy Spirit. It prompts each and every one of us. If we listen, and it will guide us to our destiny. If we don't, we go on detours to our destiny and pathways to our destiny instead of going towards our destiny. So when we see people that we see have arrived and we think they just made it, you don't know what their transition was getting there, but just know they kept going. We see things and stop in the middle of our process. We got to begin to trust God, go to him, tell him, God, I am a sinner. I smoke. I drink. I'd like to have sex. That's how I talk to God. I talk to him like that. I tell, because he know these things anyway. I be like, now, you know I like this. You're going to have to take this away from me because you know I can't do it by myself. I be talking to him just like that. I have to, because anything else will be made up. It will be religious, and it will be false. Stop believing you got to go down on your knees. You can talk to God while you're walking. When I was carrying all of the work that I was carrying, do you know I might have been singing, praise is what I do. I didn't even know why I was humming it. When I want to be. So I'm still praising my way through my circumstance. And that's what we got to learn to do is praise our way through our circumstance, because it's going to look crazy. It's going to feel hard. It's going to be bad. But you got to get through it, because I promise you, the other side is made, the cut is on the other side of the rainbow, not in the middle, not because you got on it, not because you're on yellow. No, you have to walk over it and walk into it, walk into your destiny. And so that's what I'm doing. So I picked up, left D.C., packed up all my stuff, told everybody I was going to Atlanta because that's where I thought I was going. God said, no, you're going to Texas. I said, okay. Do you understand? My cousin lived down here. She said, I'll give you a job. I can use you, Well, that was great, fine and dandy. You're going to a place, you know you got a job. When I found my house, everything was great. Well, on the road trip here, the truck that was carrying my furniture and everything, all my goods, they were in a car. They was in an accident. The truck flipped over, broke up everything that was in the truck. The person who was driving broke their convertebrae, okay? I'm telling you this for a reason. When you walk into your destiny, the devil going to hit you with everything he got, because his biggest job is to keep you from it. And he's been winning. That's why so many people die so young like they do, because they let the devil rob them out of their destiny. You know, you don't have to. Well, the truck flipped over. Everything broke up. That's a two-day delay. We already on a 24-hour trip. It was crazy. I'm talking about when I pulled up, I had $65 left from all of the trouble. I had to get a new U-Haul. It was a mess. When I got here, the lights wasn't on. Guess what they told me? They said, oh, you got to pay your light bill to get your lights on. They're not on. It was daytime. Thank God it was that. Because the way we were coming, had we not had the accident, we would have got here at night. We'd been in the dark. We had to go to Walmart. Long story short, got here. They said, you got to get your lights on. I said, well, how much is that? They said, $65. At the last, I had nothing else. But I just looked up to the sky. I knew that God had me, you know. And so when I got the job, didn't last. Do you know I had more jobs in Dallas, Texas than I had in D.C. in the last 10 years?
Wow. Well, look, we also know that you have your own business. So we're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about your business that you have, okay? We'll be right back.
Great, we can do that.
All right. Hi, I'm Gail Delicious Johnson. I'm more than just a radio personality. I'm also a best-selling author of 5 published books, publisher, ghostwriter, poet, and a speaker. My latest book, a fast-paced, action-packed, drama-filled novel titled Back to Zero, is available. You can order your autographed copy of Back to Zero and any of my other books from my website. That's www.jjpublishing.com. If you're looking to have your dreams come true in a book, look no further. I am the founder and owner of my own independent publishing company, JJ Publishing. JJ Publishing offers the service to fit the new or seasoned author's budget. There are no hidden fees. I display a professional business attitude towards my clients while treating them with dignity and respect. My mission is to make the first-time author as well as a seasoned author's use of JJ Publishing service a most beneficial and memorable experience. Back to Zero is selling out fast. Don't be left out. Go to my website. Again, that address is www.jjpublishing.com. After you make your purchases, check out my website. I thank you all in advance.
That's Miss Betty Wright, the cleanup woman, and we're back here with our guest Tiffany Boston, who is in this, who had, once was in the street life and turned her life around as a business owner, grandmother, mother, and a friend to many. To my co-host, do any of you guys have any questions for Tiffany? Hello.
I'm here. No, I
had my phone on mute. Tiffany is answering questions before we can get them out. But you know what? I just have to commend the sister because, you know, through a lot. You have been through a lot, and you came out strong. So I got to commend you because there's some people that would be in your shoes, see it all, been through it all, and not be where you at today. So, you know, kudos to you, really.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Right. So you can tell us now about your business that you have and how you came to be a business and the business that you're in and, you know, how it's coming along and, you know, different things like that. You can tell us about your business.
Okay. About 6 years ago, maybe eight now. That's, you know, how some you keep a number locked in your head, and that's not really the number. You just want to keep thinking it's that's the number. It was longer than six. I decided that I just wanted to work for myself. I knew when I was a young girl that I had to own my own business and stuff like that. I remember working in a temp agency, and it was glass. It was beautiful. The way the assignment they sent me to, and I was like, I said, I'm going to own one of these. I'm not going to be working behind no desk, working in nobody's place like this all my life. I said it, and I was 18. On that assignment, because I work now. Let me just say that. Through my struggle and all of that, I work at Children's Hospital. You know, even when I was doing stuff, I maintained different jobs just because I should have, you know. But once I knew that it wasn't for me, I walked into, thanks to Ayoka Neal and Damali Cortez, I have to shout them out because they gave me an opportunity to be involved in the Republic Garden, which was one of the biggest clubs in the District of Columbia. And I was in heavily involved, you know, and they gave me that, and that was my freelance job. I got paid every week, but I wasn't there on the clock. I wasn't there all day. It gave me that freedom that I needed, and I knew that I could continue doing anything. just from that standpoint. You know, I was like, if I can do this, I can do that. So I didn't mind setting up businesses like I set up Velocity Concierge. I worked at Zanzibar on the waterfront. Why wouldn't I? They need transportation to get the celebrities back and forth. I'm calling it and booking it for them. I might as well have a company. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm getting paid at my job, and now they're going to pay me to provide transportation for them. It's two different things, you know. And so I was with my baby girl then, and he had a trucking company, so I was running his trucking and moving company while running Velocity Concierge and working at Zanzibar on the waterfront. And once I left that, I just carried on with the trucking company and Velocity Concierge, and I was working freelancing with Republic Gardens and other venues. So I got into the promotional world because it was my background, like marketing and advertisement. Just had a bad night. A really good friend of mine is a business partner with me currently right now in the business. One of the business ventures that we're in is Paycation and Wake Up Now. We're looking at it differently, just to your point of business and how we got here. My primary business is help keep me out the streets. That vision and what God told me to do, that's what I'm doing. So with that, I work at Cowboy Stadium. Every time there's an event, I can have as many concession stands in there as I want, and they give me a percentage for everything that they sell, just for manning the location. So my agency, that's how I'm fundraising, and it's great because people paying all this money to come to this stadium. I was there for NCAA, Cotton Bowl. That stuff don't mean nothing to me. I'm walking through here. I'm looking at what God is doing. I said, now look at here. People paying good money to come up in here. They want to be here, and I'm walking through here getting paid to be here. That is awesome. That is
yes,
God.
It is.
And I see that, and I'm like, wow. You know, Jay-Z and Beyonce, I would have never paid $300 for the tickets, but I'm going to be there. And I got enough staff to go and watch the game and still keep coming checking on that money. You know, and that's life. That's vision. That's being going no matter what, keeping going, and that's exactly what I did. So Help Keep Me Off the Streets is a nonprofit organization. It is a 501c3. I'm not just saying it. It is. You know, I have a lot of good connections and things happening here. We're expanding to opening a group home, which is a residential treatment facility in October for young girls, and they're going to come out of here changed. But they're not going to leave here until they're ready, and then they are changed. We're not feeding them back to the wolves, you know, because that's the problem.
Right.
Nobody want to help the people that needs the help. You got to help them. You know, if I didn't have God helping me and the people that I did have around me, I would be in trouble, like you said, young lady. I've been through a lot. I'm sure that I would. But, see, I don't see it like that because I see what God did. I see it. He said no way was it going to be like that for me, and I believed him. So that's the difference. You know, a lot of people been through more than what I've been through, but it's how you take what you go through. You got to let it make you, you know? You got to let it make you. So I'm now, like I said, Help Keep Me Out the Streets is my primary business, and I also have a travel consultation business where I'm building a network, and I'm really looking for people to get on board that's trying to build a network too, because you have to have a vision. My vision is to have $10,000 a month from this company I'm working with every month by October. If you can't have that same kind of vision, I don't need you on my team, whoever you are, you know, because that's stagnation. I need people that get it like me, who are not afraid to go get it, who understand it's going to require a little bit out of you. Everything going to take something. It takes everything out of you to get up and go punch that clock that morning and work your butt off for them hours that they tell you they're going to pay you, how much they're going to pay you. You ran and tell me people, we want to continue to live like that and let people tell us how much we're worth. Oh, they say you work $20 an hour, so you think you're balling. You got to wait all year to get all of it. You got to get it every 2 weeks. How about you sit down with God and ask him to develop your gift so that you can go create your own $50,000 a month? Ask me, is it possible? I know it's possible because I'm getting ready to do it. I'm walking in it. You understand what I'm saying? Nobody's going to limit me and tell me. I'm holding on to God because he said that he created us to be a prosperous people, to live and not die. Struggle comes from disobedience and hardened hearts. Bottom line. If we change our ways, our life will change. And that's what I'm doing. So Paycation is the baby. This thing here is so simple. People get in the network. All they have to do is understand that all you need to do is recruit a certain amount of people, and you're going to move to this level. If you can understand numbers, you can understand that. You're not selling anything. That's what I love about it. It's travel. Everybody travels. So it's an excellent business. It's fun for me. Now I'm getting the travel for pennies on the dollar, and I always was a traveler anyway. So this works. Now I'll be doing cruises and so many big, great things. So that Paycations, again, that's my baby. And Help Keep Me Out the Streets is my life. You know, that's what I'm building and branding. And anything else that I touch is a stream of income. that I'm combining with what I have.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds pretty good. The vacation helped keep me off the streets and, you know, whatever else, whatever, you know, endeavor you may get into. Sounds pretty good because you do have a vision and you're going with your vision and you're, you know, making things materialize opposed to just saying, I want, I wish, you know,
exactly.
You're actually going after it, and that's what you have to do. You just can't sit around and say, I want, I wish, you know, I might, I can. You know, you have to actually, you know, I've always been told it's good to have a dream, but the only way to make your dream come true is you got to wake up. And you have to work on your dream. You just can't dream something and then, you know, just sit around and wait for it to happen, because it doesn't happen like that. You know, it's just something that you would have to make materialize yourself. And, you know, you're doing that, and that's a good thing. You know, you're a good example for your children, you know, as well as the community and, you know, anybody else you come in contact with. So how can people get in touch with you if they want to you know, get in touch with you,
know,
maybe if they want to join your business or just want to get some advice from you, or, you
know.
I
was going to say, I'm really a free-spirited person, you know. If you might need somebody to talk to, somebody just to listen. I'm more so the person when you talk to me about your problems, I just listen. And then when you finish, if you ask me, then I'll moderate what you said back to me, you know. And hopefully by the time it's finished, God had done his job, because obviously he sent that person to me and me to that person, you know, because when I minister to others, I minister to me too. So I can be reached via Facebook at Tiffany B. God's Child. If you can't find it under that, I know you can find it under Nobody Greater Than You, Lord. That's my Facebook name, and I changed that from Bad Girl Entertainment to that. That's amazing. But that you can contact me there. You can also contact me. My phone number is 202-421-6950. I trust that anybody's going to call. It's going to be in decency and order, so I don't have to worry about that. Again, that's 202-421-6950. I do have a book coming out called Borderline Queenpin in October, and so
what's
that's
the title
why I did
not.
Borderline Queenpin.
Borderline Queenpin. Is that a fictional story or?
It's based on a true story, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's,
okay,
it's
so it's like
queen.
A little autobiography. Oh, okay.
Literally. Mm-hmm. And then it's one to follow that fall called Broken Yet Chosen. So I really want people to just get it, dive in. You know, if I can find a way to give it away and just make the money I spent on it back, I would, because that's how much I just have to give it away. Because I need everybody to believe. I want to end this call saying that at the end of the day, what I want everybody to get from me, when you see me, I want you to see Jesus. Don't see me. See God in me. And if you don't, correct that. Because that's who I'm supposed to be an image of, not just me, but all of us. It's a learning process. It's not just something that just happens. The more you dig in, the more you dive in, and you go deeper and deeper. You know, just like we go deeper in the world, we got to go deeper in God. We can't keep making withdrawals. We have to learn how to deposit in God. I told a girlfriend the other day how when you go to God, we say stuff like, God, if you do this, I'm going to do this. God, I need you to do this, and if you do this, I'm going to do this. We're supposed to go to him and say, God, now you know I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do this because this is what you're telling me to do, and I'm going to need you to order the whole steps of everything that I'm doing. It's that simple. Don't be just making requests. Pour it to him. He wants you to give him his word back. He wants you to stand on your faith, and faith without works is hopeless. I don't want people to keep sitting around thinking something's going to fall out the sky because you keep praying and crying. Baby, if you don't move your feet, let me tell you how you ain't going to go nowhere. Because don't nobody owe you nothing in this world. You owe it to yourself to go get it. So I really, really just have to say that, y'all. Let's just push, man. We were created with purpose, destiny. We're driven. We all have special gifts. They're just not activated. Let's activate them. Contact me. Again, Facebook, I don't have an Instagram. Let me tell you why, and I'm going to let you go, because I don't have time to be following those stars. See, on Facebook, those people not your friends unless you're following them. But on Instagram, you can follow whoever you want. And you know what that means? I'm going to be a little nosy with everybody's business. But because I got too much business going on over here, I don't need to be on that. I need to be on a place where I can relate and be family and friends with the people that I know that's in my social network. Not nothing else. Because anything else is going to take me too far away from my purpose. Instead of me walking in 2 miles, I'm going to be looking at Beyonce, worrying about her and her husband's fight on the elevator, and worrying about what's coming on this week, and worrying about that daggone president lady. I don't even know the scandal. All of that stuff is not real. Wake up and understand that we are living in trying times. You are so controlled by the media and the world and what they want you to see that you're missing your life. And you're going to wake up and be 57 trying to get it together instead of have gotten it together.
Yep.
And that's really it.
Wow. Okay. Does anybody have any closing remarks they'd like to make before we close out the show? Jadino, do you have anything you'd like to say as a closing remark?
I just enjoy hearing the whole beginning and the end of it all. And you know, you always hear about people that had the life and they couldn't ever get out the street or end up in jail or dead. So it's nice to see somebody that turned it around and used it to their advantage.
Right, right. Jay, do you have any closing remarks? Jay, she must have her. Yeah. Rhea, do you have any closing remarks?
No, it was wow.
Just say wow. Okay.
Okay, well, you guys, Rhea, let everybody know what you do and where they can get in touch with you at on
Well, I am a book reviewer, and I can best be reached on Facebook at Alexis M. Banks, and that's it.
What is it,
okay.
Alexis? I didn't get it.
Rhea Alexis.
It's Rhea Alexis, R-H-E-A-A-L-E-X-I-S, M. period Banks, B-A-N-K-S.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Jadino. Jadino.
You can reach me on Facebook. You also can contact me at j.dinoblasco@gmail.com.
Okay. Jade, are you there? Okay. Well, Jade. Okay, you let everybody know where they can get in contact with you.
Oh, yeah. If y'all get in contact with me, go to Facebook and go to look for Erotic Talk Radio group page and ask to join the group, and you can find me there, or WTLC Talk Radio group page and ask to get in there. You can find me there.
Okay, Tiffany, you want to give out your information once again in case somebody had to go get a pen and a piece of paper?
Yes, ma'am. Again, that's Facebook, Tiffany B. Godschild. Nobody greater than you if you can't find it under Tiffany B. Godschild. And my email address, because I gave out my number twice, and I'm not going to give it out again, but I will give my email to whom they get the number. It's Tiffany, T-I-F-F-A-N-Y, B, Godschild, one word, G-O-D-S-C-H-I-L-D, @gmail.com.
Okay, we're going to give you a great big round of applause for being our guest this evening.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you.
Yeah, and we treat our guests over here like the stars they are. And I just want to let everybody know that Bringing Sexy Back is for the mature listening audience, and our subject matter is sexual but not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life. We appreciate you, our listening audience, for the questions and comments. And if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, send an email to me. That's gjdelicious37@gmail.com, or to either of my co-hosts. That's Rhea at RheaAlexis@yahoo.com, RheaAlexis@yahoo.com, and JadinoBlasco@gmail.com. That's j.dinoblasco, BLASCKO@gmail.com. And in the subject line, type topic or guest. We have every Wednesday from 10:30 p.m. for an hour to an hour and a half. Sometimes if it gets really juicy, we're here the whole 2 hours. Like tonight, it was really, really, very interesting show. Interesting topics and different things that we had discussed with our special guests. And, you know, we may have to do a part two because, as she had mentioned, you know, some of the things we didn't get to touch down on. But, you know, you can make this your second home, Tiffany. You're welcome back anytime, you know. And
thank
remember,
you.
Right, you're more than welcome. Remember, bringing sexy back does not mean you lost your sexy. Bringing sexy back is a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. Thank you, Rhea, Jadino, Jade, and our special guest, Tiffany, for being here tonight with me. Hope you guys have a beautiful rest of the weekend. See you guys next week. Love you. Take care. Don't drink and drive. I like talking to you, not about you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Night. Well, we blessed. All right.
Bye. My Nala got the best radio show on the internet.